Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a case that's basically legendary when it comes to student free speech.
Yeah.
Tinker v. Des Moines. You've probably heard the basics, armbands protesting the Vietnam War,
right,
going all the way to the Supreme Court. But trust me, there is so much more to this story than you probably realize.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just looking at the majority opinion. We've got excerpts from 3 dissenting opinions and 2 concurring opinions as well.
Wow.
So get ready, because we're going deep into Tinker and what it means for student schools and free speech today.
It really is amazing how a case about armbands became like a cornerstone for First Amendment law in schools. It goes way beyond just whether kids can wear certain symbols.
Yeah.
This is about the whole framework for how we balance student expression with the authority of the schools.
Exactly. And it's kind of crazy how a case from 1969 still impacts legal battles about student speech today. It's like the ghost of Tinker is haunting every school board meeting and student protest all over the country.
It really shows the tension that still exists between free speech and having safe and orderly schools. It's a tough balancing act.
Okay, so let's go back to 1965. We've got John Tinker, 15 years old, his siblings, and a friend in Des Moines, Iowa. They decide to wear black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War. Seems pretty simple, right?
Well, except the school principals found out about it and immediately banned armbands. They even threatened to suspend anyone who wore one.
Wow.
It's fascinating how this small act of protest sparked such a big reaction from the school.
It's like they saw those armbands and panicked.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, this is the beginning of a revolution. We have to stop this now.
Right.
Talk about an overreaction. It makes you wonder, do students actually have the same constitutional rights as adults when they're in school?
And in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court basically said yes.
Wow.
They drew a line saying schools can't just silence students because they don't agree with what they're saying. Of course, they acknowledged that schools have to maintain order, but they said fear of disruption can't be the only reason to restrict speech.
So if the school hadn't banned other political things, maybe Tinker would have lost. That's crazy. It seems like the fact that they allowed other political expression like campaign buttons, even the Iron Cross, was a key factor in the court's decision.
Absolutely. The court made it clear that suppressing one specific viewpoint while allowing others is basically censorship.
Right.
They called out the school for not applying the rules fairly and being biased.
This gets to the heart of censorship. It's not just about what you say, but who gets to decide what's acceptable.
Exactly. And the court was really clear that there has to be real proof that the speech would actually cause problems at school. You can't just rely on what ifs or worries about potential controversy.
So in this case, the school couldn't prove that the armbands were causing any real problems. Just a general feeling of unease.
Pretty much. And the court didn't buy it. They basically said, look, you can't just shut down students because you're worried about what might happen. You need solid proof.
That's a bold statement, especially back in 1969. It's like the court was telling schools, hey, you can't be afraid of student expression. You have to create a place where different viewpoints can be shared, even if they're controversial.
It was a major change in how we think about the rights of students, but it wasn't a unanimous decision. There were some strong dissenting opinions that are worth looking at because they raised some really interesting points that are still important today.
Yeah, let's dig into those dissenting voices. Justice Black, for example, seemed pretty worried about the possibility of chaos in the classroom. Like, if you let students say and do whatever they want, won't that lead to disruption and undermine the teachers and principals?
Black was very concerned that giving students too much freedom of expression would weaken the ability of school officials to keep things in order and maintain discipline. He imagined schools becoming chaotic with teachers losing control of their classrooms and students running wild.
It does sound a bit dramatic, but I can see his point. Schools do need to be able to run smoothly. Wasn't Black also worried about young students being swayed by political movements? It's almost like he thought kids were too easily influenced to handle these complicated issues.
He did express concern about the potential for young people to be unduly influenced by political groups, especially during a time when the Vietnam War was such a divisive issue.
Right.
It's like he saw the armbands as a symbol of outside forces trying to infiltrate the school and possibly manipulate students. And it's interesting how Black's fears actually kind of came true, but not in the way he probably imagined. Think about how Tinker has been used in cases about things like dress codes and student newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
You have groups who want stricter dress codes to keep things orderly, and they use Tinker to support their argument. But then you also have others who want students to have more control over what goes in school newspapers.
Right.
And they use Tinker to back up their side, too. It's like Tinker's become this double-edged sword.
I see what you mean. So you're saying Black's worries about schools losing their authority are still relevant today. but they're showing up in these unexpected ways.
Exactly. It just goes to show how complex these issues are, and how one court case can have such a lasting impact in so many different areas. And we can't forget about Justice Harlan's dissenting opinion. He wasn't totally against considering First Amendment rights in schools.
Right.
But he had a different take on who needed to prove what.
Yeah, Harlan thought it should be up to the students to prove that the school was being unreasonable, not the other way around.
Exactly. He argued that school officials should have more freedom to make decisions about how students behave. He basically believed that students should have to show that the school's actions weren't based on legitimate concerns about keeping order.
That's a pretty different standard than what the majority opinion said. It makes you think about how things might have turned out if Harlan's view had won out.
It would have definitely shifted the balance of power. But even within the majority opinion, there were some interesting differences in the concurring opinions. Like Justice Stewart, he wasn't totally convinced that kids should have the same First Amendment rights as adults.
Wait, I thought the whole point of Tinker was that students do have those rights?
Well, the majority definitely agreed that students don't lose their constitutional rights just because they're at school. But Stewart questioned how broad those rights should be.
I see.
He seemed to be suggesting that maybe we need to think differently about how those rights work within a school environment.
So he was saying students have rights, but maybe not all of the same rights as adults.
Exactly. And Justice White, while he agreed with the overall decision, he made a clear distinction between saying something and expressing yourself without words.
That's a huge issue today. Think about online images compared to text posts.
Wait.
Are memes protected speech? What about videos? It gets complicated fast.
It definitely does. It makes you wonder how the court might have ruled if the Tinker kids had been shouting slogans instead of wearing armbands. Would the outcome have been the same?
Or think about today. If this happened now, it wouldn't be armbands. It would be profile pictures or hashtags or viral video.
Oh, exactly. The lines get really blurry in the digital age. Does the protection that Tinker gave to symbolic speech also apply to online expression? Courts are trying to figure that out right now.
And it gets even more complicated when you add in issues like cyberbullying, online harassment, and misinformation. Where do we draw the line between protected speech and content that's actually harmful?
These are the challenges of trying to apply a case from 1969 to the world we live in today. But what's amazing is how important those basic principles from Tinker still are. We still have to think about the potential for disruption, the need to protect diverse viewpoints, and the balance between student expression and the authority of the school.
But how do we apply those principles in a world where what students say can spread across the internet in seconds and have consequences that go way beyond the school?
It's like Tinker on steroids. And there aren't any easy answers. The law is still catching up as technology changes, and the way students communicate changes too.
It does feel like we're constantly trying to keep up. Technology keeps evolving, and the way students talk to each other are changing right along with it. It's like the rules of the game are being rewritten as we're playing.
And that's why it's so crucial to keep having these conversations. We need to talk about these issues, explore different perspectives, and try to find a way forward that honors both the spirit of Tinker and the realities of our digital world.
This isn't just about legal stuff or school rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's about creating a culture where people express themselves responsibly and thoughtfully, both online and offline. We have to give students the critical thinking skills they need to navigate this complicated landscape.
Right.
To understand the power and the potential dangers of what they say and do.
It's like we're all figuring this out together in real time. And Tinker, even though it's decades old, reminds us how important it is for students to have a voice and how we have to balance that with the need for schools to have authority.
It definitely gives us a lot to think about. So for our listeners out there, here's something to consider. As we move further into this digital world, how do you think we should balance the right of students to speak freely with the need for safe and productive schools? It's a conversation that needs to keep evolving as our world changes. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those conversations going. It's a whole new world, and the lines are definitely blurry. It makes you wonder if the founding fathers ever imagined a world where kids could share their thoughts with the entire planet right from their bedrooms.
It's pretty mind-boggling. But even in this new territory, those basic principles from Tinker are still important. We still have to think about the impact of what students say, the possibility of things getting disrupted, and the importance of protecting different viewpoints. It's just that everything is happening so much faster and on a much larger scale now.
So how do we even start to apply these principles in the age of social media? What are the limits of student-free speech when anything they post could go viral and have consequences not just for the school, but for the whole community?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's one that everyone's trying to figure out. Communities, educators, legal experts, people who make policies. There's no easy answer.
It feels like we're always playing catch-up. Technology is constantly changing, and the way students communicate is changing right along with it. It's like we're trying to figure out the rules of the game while we're playing it.
And that's exactly why we need to keep having these conversations. We need to talk about these issues, look at them from different angles, and try to find a way forward that respects both the spirit of Tinker and the reality of our digital world.
This goes beyond just legal precedents and school policies. It's about creating a culture where people think carefully about how they express themselves, both online and offline. We need to teach students how to think critically so they can navigate this complex world and understand the power and potential risks of what they say and do.
It's like we're all in this together trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Tinker, even though it's an old case, reminds us how important it is for students to have a voice and how important it is to find that balance between free speech and the authority of schools.
It definitely gives us all a lot to think about. So to our listeners out there, here's a final thought. As we move deeper into this digital age, how do you think we should balance the right of students to speak freely with the need for safe and productive learning environments? It's a conversation that needs to keep going as our world changes. Until next time, keep those minds curious and keep those conversations flowing.